The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by 8 Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear. I am here with my motley crew of assorted compatriots. Slightly different lineup this week. We will introduce them all. Going around the table, we have our special guest, Adam.
Hi, glad to be here.
Adam has been so gracious to join us. And we have Jared looking at me all cross-eyed.
Curious.
We have my brother, Jeff.
How's it going?
And of course, Pat is in the back here behind me.
What's going on?
Eric, of course, Eric and Oral are not here tonight. Eric will be not joining us as often. He has decided to move out of the Orlando area where we are based, so we will be Skyping him in.
We wish him well.
We do wish him well. He's going on to much bigger and better things than working at a comic shop. However, speaking of that, Oral is now taking his position and will possibly be also very busy, so we're going to try to work around their schedules and get them back on as often as we can. But
if you're looking to buy a house in the Tampa area.
Yeah, Sarasota.
Sarasota, sort of one of those.
Yeah, Eric's going to be some realty stuff. But no one is leaving. We're just going to try to work around their schedules.
Oh, hey, since we're talking about people that won't be on the show any longer, how's Joshua doing?
Joshua? I just posted something on his Facebook the other day. For those of you who don't know, our longtime listeners will know that Joshua, a.k.a. The Question, now the, chief comics editor at IGN. He posted something the other day, and I know he's doing well.
He posted something today, too.
Yeah. He posts, like, fun little things. It's good. I'm glad. I'm proud of him. And he'll be back on sometime. I'll rope him into it at some point. All right, we want to jump into some TV stuff. We have a lot of shows that we're very excited about. We have a lot of movies we want to talk about, although more speculative. But we'll start with TV this week because I'm a little mad at RuPaul. or more specifically, the drag race.
Okay, for somebody who isn't really up to this season, why don't you tell me more about why you're so upset?
I love that you asked me that, Jared. That's very nice. Thank you.
Also, didn't they recently come to town?
In fact, we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, but that's be sure right.
Starting with the show itself, which we record on Monday, so it will air later tonight. The last two eliminations have been two of my favorite queens on this season.
That doesn't sound very objective.
Well, no, but I do believe that in both cases, the eliminations were wrong. Not just because they're my favorite, but because I do think objectively, definitely in one case and pretty likely in the other case, they did a better job in the lip sync. Now, of course, we only see the edit and there are other factors going into it, I think. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's.
And it's reality programming. The bigger they can stir the pot, the more people they get to tune in.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it. So there will be spoilers, just to warn our audience. If you don't mind being spoiled, then keep listening. If you do, may you want to come back.
Just show up a little bit later in the podcast.
We'll be here. You know, we'll just
let's go to the bathroom, away. Make a sandwich.
Yeah, that works.
Give us 3 or 4 minutes.
Listen in. Oh, I'm still talking about drag queens, but I'll be back.
So what did you think?
The controversy thing in reality TV, I understand and I get, and it's been a big thing that every season has kind of had its share of some sort of outrageous elimination. I mean,
scandalous.
Ben de la Creme last year.
Shocking.
Twice. I mean, at the point where it was like, damn it. Oh, thank God she saved.
She's like a red shirt.
Damn it. Now she's really gone. Although at least she was saved before she came here and we met her the first time around, so. At least felt better the first time meeting her and going, okay, you're still on the show. All right, fine. 2 weeks later, you get kicked off again, but hey, whatever.
Well, but then in typical reality show fashion, they shoot the whole season before.
Oh, yeah.
So she couldn't just say.
No, of course not. Yeah, no.
Just had to keep that good smile on her face. Yeah, it's still on there.
Yep.
That was the thing. It was like she talked a little bit because I got to chat with her for a few between the first and the second show that night. And she was like, oh yeah, it was just so scary and my heart was in my throat and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I know that you know what's going to happen. I know that you either know that you stayed on and went to the top three or you got kicked off and, you know, could be any day now. But this season, it seems like everything has happened way too early. Like it was a very slow start, very slow start. Queens are just not what they were in the past seasons from a right off the bat value. Pat, like last season, you had standout personalities right from the beginning that you just were like, oh my God, I love this queen. This time around, they're a little slow out the gate.
But the ones that I really thought had really strong personalities and really well defined and were funny, the last two were eliminated. They got rid of Trixie and then they got rid of Mrs. Kasha Davis. Both had really good personalities and were funny and... I don't know.
Not the first two episodes. I didn't love Trixie until she came out looking like Jesus.
Oh, well.
When Trixie came out looking like goddamn Jesus on the side of a candle.
What a sentence.
With her goddamn Jesus. With her big ass eyelashes and makeup. And the fact that the queens were all like, you've never looked prettier. Giant fucking beard. Big like crown of thorns thing. It was amazing. But that was where she kind of started to at least have some personality. Then she went through, was it, one more episode?
I think so.
And then she got eliminated. She was the fourth one kicked off. She didn't even break the top 10.
No.
And the fact that there's so much backlash, Mrs. Kasha Davis hasn't had the same backlash. I mean, for the fact that there's a hashtag justice for Trixie trending, you know, that really kind of shows that there was at least a lot of popular support out there in the short time that Trixie was on the show. But.
Well, I think especially is when Trixie lost, she lost to someone who even the storyline, like the producers were showing Pearl as this kind of laconic, sort of millennial, doesn't really care, just kind of whatever. I mean, that's the storyline they're showing. So that
half-ass performance,
Trixie lost to that is even more egregious to me. But
felt like RuPaul made the call. I'm not that into the show. I'm not as experienced with it, but I watched it and had the same reaction.
Yeah,
yeah. I think when it comes down to it, it's more a matter of. It's RuPaul has this kind of mindset of, okay, these are the queens that I see the most potential in and I think are going to go the furthest. And unless they do something really, really crazy to fuck it up. Because honestly, had Max and Pearl not been funny during the roast, Pearl would have gone home. Pearl, after that exchange in the workroom, which Pandora Box cited as the most awkward moment on RuPaul's Drag Race ever, 7 seasons in, and I swear to God, I think everybody that watched was like,
yep.
Yeah.
Those of you who didn't see it, basically, where he's like, you need to step up. You have no personality. Or she reiterated the comment she made before. And
well, she said that she said Max had a big personality and Pearl not so much.
And then Pearl basically was like, kind of gave her some sass.
She was like, well, you just said I have no personality. That doesn't make me feel good or motivated. RuPaul's like, well, I did that to light a fire under your ass. And Pearl's like, so?
That, nobody can see your eyes shifting back and forth as you're saying this.
I figured the dramatic pauses were enough.
See the camera over here. Catch my meaning.
So I don't know. I have not agreed with the last two. Now, we'll see what happens tonight. But
I'm waiting for Snatch Game, goddammit.
I know.
We are late on Snatch Game.
I did hear that Trixie Mattel tore it up in Austin last night or the night before. Was performing at Oil Can Harry's and did fantastic. Like, saw that all over social media today. Nice. So, well, good for her.
We're very thrilled with her Princess Peach look, and we're hoping to get her on possibly in the future on Dragon's New Spandex, and that is a fantastic look. And
she's going to be here for White Party on April 17th at the Parliament House.
Woo!
So, I would not doubt it if we see the long white ball gown with her face painted on it as one of the outfits for either the 10 o'clock show or the 12 o'clock show for White Party. And I've been in touch with her manager. I really want to be like, can you have her bring the Princess Peach crown when she comes here? I don't care about the outfit. I don't care if she's going to do a number but as Princess Peach.
The crown.
I just want to wear the crown.
So speaking of her performances, we had the RuPaul Live this week, right?
In fact, yes. The Battle of the Seasons is what they call it. Pat and I got to go. We got nice balcony seats with all the other old people.
because we old.
It was delightful.
That explains why I saw Adore Delano and Jinx Monsoon on Grindr when I was at work.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, what's even funnier is...
On Grindr at work, he says.
He works with Dave. Oh, no. But no, what's even funnier is Michelle Visage is on Grindr and Scruff.
Interesting.
Just as a promotional or just to talk with people.
Mouthpiece,
or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I may have talked to Michelle Visage on Scruff.
Did you?
I may have.
Because I woofed at her, and that was about it.
Well, okay, did you guys swap dick pics?
No. Well, the funny part was when she said during her opening monologue, she's like, yes, that is me on your Grindr and Scruff. And she's like, do not send me pictures of you in drag and tell me to judge you. Audition for the show, and then we'll do that. She's like, just send me a dick pic. I'll judge that.
She was probably one of the better parts of the show because you don't get to see a lot of her on the main RuPaul Drag Race. She is in many other things that comes out of World of Wonder. So if you listen to the podcast or if you watch the, what's her thing after they
What You Packing.
What You Packing. Like, she's around, but you don't get that sense of who she is as much. And, you know, this is a live show, so you don't get a lot of in-depth stuff, but she's a very good entertainer. I didn't realize she had a musical theater background.
Unless you actually followed her career and watched her on the RuPaul show in the 90s. On KTU. Shit, I forget which
station. Did she have a radio show on that?
Yeah, she was on the radio. Okay. She and RuPaul had a radio show as well.
There you go.
They have a long and storied history. She has a song on the number one selling soundtrack of all time.
I didn't know that either. But I know she had a big song. I don't know.
She's only mentions it like at least once or twice a season.
Yeah, but she was really entertaining. And so it was six queens, I think, total?
We had seven queens for this leg of the tour. We had Detox, Alaska, Jinx, Sharon, Adore, Ivy, and Bianca.
So each one got to do their own little, signature thing. I mean, obviously Bianca did some comedy. Adore sang, Jinx sang and did her vaudeville. They did a snatch game, which was very funny. Magical. But I'll tell you who stole the show to me, and that's Ivy Winters.
Ivy Winters.
She is one hell of a performer. Mm-hmm. Not just a good drag queen. That's a given. But she is a stilt walker. I at Parliament, she swallowed fire. She didn't do that on the show, on the live show, but she did really ridiculously quick costume changes. Like what? Seven in a song?
Yeah. It had to be about seven costume changes. She's a circus queen, so that's her background.
Right. She sounds like she's coming from an experienced.
But that adds so much, I think.
She came out, Alaska opened the show, did her new single, Hi!
I love Alaska, by the way. I think she's amazing.
Amazing. And then Ivy came out and the opening chords to My Strongest Suit from Aida played. And I was like, oh my God, Aida, awesome. And she's out in this like cape and with this big like back thing around her head. And the guy is out on the stage with her like, and he's just standing there motionless with a measuring tape up to her. She has the opening bit to it, and then the music really kicks on, and she starts going, and she walks behind this curtain that they brought out on stage, and literally just walks behind it and continues walking out, different outfit on. Starts going through, pulls up a hoop, like Jasmine Masters' cocoon in the first episode of the season. You know, her tearaway cocoon? Mm-hmm. She pulls that up. That was the only time she got stuck, and she had, it was a little bit longer on the quick change, but I mean, granted, it was still fantastic.
Really fast, yeah.
And then we get to the end. I'm sorry. Before, there's a musical break in the middle of the song.
Oh, yeah.
Because during the show in Aida, they do like a fashion show during My Strongest Suit. So they kill the light. She's in this like two-piece fringy dress bikini type thing. The shit's glow in the dark. And then she busts out light up bowling pins and proceeds to juggle. In the dark, with this glowing dress and these light-up bowling pins.
I would kill for a set of those. Those are amazing. And it was so impressive. Like, it just so not what you expect to see at a drag show, you know?
And then there was black magic. Voodoo, I tell you. Oh. I have to be, like, oral for this part of it. It was goddamn black magic. She goes over, and for the last quick change of the number, there is a hula hoop with long strips of fringe. Like, shiny fringe-type stuff. And it's... So you can see through it. It's not a solid one like the cocoon. She pulls it up. She has it under her arms. And she's lip-syncing the last, towards the end of the song. And then starts shaking it. So the fringe starts going back and forth. You can still see through it. She's shaking. Her red dress turns black. Hands on hula hoop. Shaking. Bam! Different color dress.
Your clothes are red. Now they are black.
Oh, my God. I love you, Jared. That's a great, great reference.
I'm a magician.
Oh. So, yeah, Ivy killed it. And Alaska was hilarious. Bianca was actually one of our friends who went to the show, Jay, thought she's funnier during this than she was in her own show.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is because she had people to rag on.
Oh, yeah.
She had other people there. When she does her one-woman stand-up show, she's telling her life story, basically, through all of this. So she's kind of pigeonholed into what she's talking about. With this, she can crack fun at Jinx Monsoon and, you know, her
magical. No one was safe.
And, you know, it's like, Sharon Needles is going to come out and sing another song. Hooray. Said no one ever. Like, you know, shit like that. She's able to just kind of poke fun at all the other queens, which gave her a bit more material. She did some of the stuff that she did in her own show, but, you know, it definitely gave a bit more.
I really, the only performer who I could have cared less to hear anymore would have been Sharon, because her new song is like, what, Dracula? It's like, yeah, just exactly what you think it'll be. And it's just so uninspired and just meh. And what's weird is, even though she did participate in the Snatch Game, she's an amazing Joan Rivers. She's amazing. And I had forgotten she did that. Mm-hmm. But there's a group number at the end, and mysteriously, she was not there for it. Uh-oh. And I don't know if that's because she got too drunk, couldn't make it, or that's just like that she just won't.
She had a hop in her hearse. It was due back at the dealer.
Her in her coffin in, yes, the hearse. Yeah. Ugh. So anyway, other than that, Jinx was phenomenal. I mean, Jinx did stuff we'd heard before. She did the parody of the Ladies Who Lunch, and she did the Debbie from Adam's Family Values.
What about Debbie? What about me?
It was good. So RuPaul's Drag Race, Battle of the Seasons, it's going to Europe now, but if you do have a chance to catch it, you should definitely watch it.
And before we move on, can I just say I happen to end up at a certain nightlife establishment where a few of these queens may have happened to show up after the show, and I may have done a karaoke song and had Adore Delano, Detox, and Bianca Del Rio backup dance for me. Best night of my life.
Bucket list moment?
It was. I didn't know it was on my bucket list till it was on and then checked off all at the same time.
And I do want to mention, again, if you go back in this feed, we did, Pat Norrell did the interview with Detox.
Yes.
She couldn't have been better and awesome. Her performance as the mannequin to whatever that song is.
Oh my God, it's Starship. Starship. Nothing's going to stop us now.
Epic. Because she only does the female part, the Gray Slick part, and she stops at other part as the mannequin. It's great.
And then goes right into Too Funky by George Michael.
Yeah.
And those guards were not ready for her.
Oh no.
Because then, ooh, she decides to get off the stage, and there's a little barricade and a little walkway for them. Bitch hops up onto the fence, throws a leg over onto somebody's shoulder, and then hops over, and the guards were not there at first, and then they were like, and we're going to come over here and make sure you don't fall off of this dude.
It was kind of hilarious. And she went all the way into the crowd. She had a great time. All right, so RuPaul's Drag Race, we'll see who gets kicked off tonight, and hopefully we'll have some more Drag is the Hispanics in the near future. Now, let's talk geeky TV. There's lots of good shows right now.
There are.
They're sort of winding down, some quicker than others.
Well, we're kind of coming up on the end of the major season.
Yeah, and then that'll be fun because we have things like Daredevil starting.
One show, if you haven't watched it yet, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's on Netflix. All 13 episodes are on there. Fantastic to watch. You will get a certain song stuck in your head.
You don't even have to watch the show. Just know someone who watches it. And every time.
Is that one that was produced by Tina Fey?
Yeah. Oh, it's 30 Rock. It's okay. Just outside the studios of New York.
Yeah.
Well, just with a girl who was kidnapped and held in a bunker for 15 years in Indiana. It's these four women get abducted. Well, one goes willingly with this cult leader, and then he keeps them in this bunker in Indiana and tells them that on June 6, 2006, the world ended. There was fire and brimstone, and they couldn't leave because they would just be walking out into lakes of fire. So we kept them there, and they eventually get found and released by a psychic pig. Psychic pig finds them. And then it follows her journeys outside of this
reconnecting
bunker
with the world.
Yeah, because she kind of feels like they get pigeoneholed as the Indiana Mole Women, and doesn't want to live that life. So she wants to move to a place where nobody's going to know who she is. So they go on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. And after the interview, she kind of has that realization. So she stays in New York and it's.
So you're saying it's the TV version of Blast from the Past, the Brendan Fraser movie.
Pretty much.
Pretty much?
Pretty much.
Oh, man, that sells itself.
So the fact that you've got, like, 1999 and 2000 references everywhere, it's amazing. It's just, it's fantastic. And there's a super gay black man on the show who is just amazing. And he sings a lovely song about wine.
That I used to love. The wine, that is. Not the song.
Anyways.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it, but it's really funny. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Who's watching this? All right.
I'm watching it.
And we're all caught up? Because let me tell you, this show, it keeps fucking with you about what you think it's going to do. For a while, I was like, okay, they're going to go off and fight Hydra. Nope, we finished with that for now. Then they're going to do the Inhumans thing, and they're still doing it, but it certainly didn't take the trajectory I ever thought it would.
It's a slow burn.
It's very slow. But then throwing in this rogue group of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents led by...
Are they rogue, or are they the real S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, that, you know, that's the, right. The question.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Civil War going on.
Kinda, I mean, yeah.
They got Commander Adama in
oh charge. Oh, my God.
Of reset the clock.
Can I just sit
Condition
there?
Condition one throughout the S.H.I.E.L.D.
I love James Olmos. Like, and I got
Mr. Edward James
Mr.
Olmos.
Mr. Edward. I got to see him once in person, and the man is a crazy hippie.
Oh, did you see Candlelight when he did that?
I did see that once, and I think he even did So Say We All, but I actually
he
saw
did?
Him.
He did?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
He did it, like, the very first time. It was right after Battlestar was ending. But then he was at Rollins, and he did a little talk, and he's kind of crazy, but he's an awesome crazy. And he's got the most gravitas, I think, of any other actor, except maybe Sam Shepard.
Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott, yeah. Like, maybe that there, but his is a different kind of gravitas altogether.
It's yeah.
Southern, easy, genteel. Anyway, so, this show's great, and, Miss Bobby Morse, even though she's on maybe the wrong side of the whole, Civil War, every time she brings out those sticks and dances and fights and does her badass Mockingbird stuff,
I'm does just, her backflip through a glass window. You know,
she's amazing.
To walk out of a room. That's one way to do it.
She's amazing. I love her death. I also like seeing Kirk Acevedo
from Fringe.
Yeah, from Fringe and 12 Monkeys. He's actually one of the main characters in that. And like every time he shows up, he's just got that gravelly voice.
But he does this. That's the thing. My only complaint about Kirk, he does the same character.
Yeah.
And you know, as soon as he shows up, he's on a ticking clock before he gets killed or maimed or something.
You know, 12 Monkeys, he's lasted almost, I think he'll probably make it all the way to the end.
Wow.
I mean, he's a big part of the show. But, yeah, no. And the sky thing, like, you know, okay, great. She's Quake. She's got these powers. That's awesome. They're exploring what it means to be an Inhuman. That's cool.
I've heard they just introduced in just a complete throwaway thing, Gordon in
the Reader.
In Marvel Comics.
Well, that's right. Because they were thinking it was the Reader. And then when he said his name, and then they, yeah, just recently they introduced him.
Some, like, they did a little window to a parallel universe, and he was just sitting by a campfire with somebody else. And then he's like, no, I'm going to stay here. And that was it.
So he crossed into the comics?
Basically, yeah, they did their, except if that's all they do, it'd be much better than the way they shoehorn Coulson in there.
Right.
Wait, Coulson?
Yeah, you remember that Nick Fury Jr. miniseries that they did?
But yeah, that was really bad because they shoehorned Nick Fury Jr. in.
Right, but his partner, Cheese, at the end of it, he calls him Coulson.
Oh, is that what happened? See, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and that's how they introduced Coulson to the Marvel Universe.
That's less egregious because he's a new character. It's the Nick
the
Fury
retconning.
Jr. thing is what kills me and just makes me sad. But
yeah.
It'll all be fixed in Secret Wars. So, what else? Everybody's liking S.H.I.E.L.D. though?
Well, talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter is currently up at the USA Today. Yeah, like, vote to save your favorite show thing. I saw that all over Twitter today. Save Agent Carter. Save Agent Carter.
I honestly don't know if I want it saved because it was a good show by itself. And even though I don't know the ending was that satisfying, it kind of just stopped. I think I'd rather them do different corners of the Marvel Universe as that second show, as opposed to giving Agent Carter another whatever. But I don't know. I'd be okay if it came back, because I love period Marvel. Like, that's still cool. But I don't know.
I'm kind of in that boat. Like, if they did an anthology
summer
filler show, where it was every time that they'd come back, it would be a different storyline of some other... So, and it could all be something that, you know... That's relevant to the overall storyline they're trying to do. So, you know, just as a complete throwaway example, they could say peek in on some other hero over here that deals with the fallout from the second Avengers movie.
And that's the other thing is Agent Carter was so like orthogonal to what they were doing in S.H.I.E.L.D. that I wish they would have been a little more crossover.
Yeah.
But
Instead of just the hinting of the Black Widow program.
Yeah,
and that was
which was
it.
Very hinting.
I still think we're going to see more of it in Age of Ultron just because of the fact that she's in the movie.
Yep. Right.
There's going to be, I think they will do a better job kind of showing why it was there in the first place. Yes, it did tie into some of the stuff with S.H.I.E.L.D., but it really didn't even tie into current Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
It was more for Captain America, the first Avenger. It was more for the original Avengers movie. So I think it's going to end up being more integral to Age of Ultron than we think right now.
I hope so. I mean, I'd like that.
I do remember reading that the Marvel Master Plan included like 4 or 5 miniseries on Netflix.
Yeah, that's the first one's Daredevil.
Which comes out this Friday. Oh, wow. And actually, this will air after the first, well, actually the whole season's been released. So at some point in the future, when we've had time to watch all 12 episodes.
I mean, get a couple of cases of beer and do a binge watch on the weekend.
Beer weekend sounds right.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do that. I don't know. I'm very excited about that. I'm everything I've heard as a pre-release is very positive.
Here's an idea. Could do that, or at least to some extent, and do like little 20-minute microsodes between.
For each one,
just a quick review.
Well, so another show that's just as geeky and comic-based, The Flash.
Oh, my God. It's getting so much better.
I was a little excited when they... So the last episode we saw, they had the big Harrison Wells reveal and kind of confirmed everything we already knew. Except that when they did the twist where they showed the other actor playing Eobard, like I was like, oh, so wait. Is this going to be a thing where Harrison Wells is co-opting this guy's plan? Or is this going to be a thing... No, it's the fringe. I'm gonna turn myself into you. I'm gonna plug my little alligator clips under your nipples and suck all the life out of you into
suck your DNA.
I was like, I don't know. That was a little kind of not.
There goes our PG rating. Oh.
Yeah, right. What, sucking DNA? No. We had a PG rating.
No. Oh, we've been on an NC-17 since like. Episode 2.
Hooray! Goodbye, pants.
Oh, nice.
Pants off podcast.
The producers have talked about it, though. They said, like, you still haven't seen the last of that former universe that they went to where what's-his-name got
really?
Killed. And there's going to be certain universe bleed-ins that are still being felt.
They showed a scene from in the previews of Harrison confronting Rico.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, they're...
And what else? Oh, they talked about, like, Killer Frost might be coming a lot sooner than you thought.
That surprises me.
Yeah, she mentioned that at the WonderCon panel that they did.
Like...
They teased some of the villains, which I think is more for season 2. It's not so much for this season.
Right.
But they were talking about what could be coming up and the villains they could be seeing, and she did mention that Killer Frost could be coming sooner.
I'm still kind of curious to see what they do with that now, that third show. That's going to be like the team-up catch-all.
With Rory as Rip Hunter.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that. They supposedly there's going to be a character that floats between all the different shows in this sort of little pocket universe of DC.
Well, and they said that just because these characters like Roy Palmer, the Atom, is on this team-up show doesn't mean that he won't go back over to Flash or Arrow.
Right.
And they'll all be making appearances. And
which I love. And then it's going to be like, this will be better than the stupid movie thing they're doing. And everyone will be like, more of this, less of that.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, and that none of that's official yet.
That's true.
That's pretty much all kind of, it's out there. Well, they want to do a pilot, but
then there's a Supergirl show too, which people don't know if that's going to cross over or not,
God. The only good thing about that, there's two good things about that, and it's their legacy stunt casting. Dean Cain will be on the show.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
And they're shooting the Daily Planet stuff at the original Lois and Clark studio.
That's that was my number. That was the second thing.
That's
I love Lois and Clark, so.
I mean, you go with that though, Arrow, the stage they use, the house they use for, the Queen residence is the old Lex Luthor house from Smallville.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's a very common, Hollywood mansion. It's been in a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
But those two, especially.
Well, I love The Flash. I think it's probably one of my favorite comic book adaptation shows recently, so. More of it they do, the better.
Not to besmirch anything else, but yeah, I mean, sometimes we look at the competition. Gotham?
I don't know. Actually, I think the last Gotham I saw was before our last recording, because they've been on a little bit of a hiatus, I guess, weather-related hiatus. So I don't know. We'll see how well that ends.
I think we've got through before the last one. It's been on break for a while.
Like over a month.
So. Yeah. What about, I don't watch Arrow. Does anybody else watch Arrow?
Doing the whole Ra's al Ghul thing. The big twist now
is... Ra's a Raish.
They talked about that.
Oh, did they?
Basically, they said that everybody in the League of Assassins calls him Raish.
Okay.
Everybody outside of it that's the layperson calls him Ra's.
interesting.
But they talked about how they had to justify it because in the comic books they pronounce it Raish, but then all those Christopher Nolan movies kept saying Raz. Now they had to find a way to meet in the middle.
Interesting.
And mix
that they're even
in.
Bothering to address this is kind of hilarious. I know. But, you know.
And we did note he just said Raz, not Raish, so we're okay right now.
Oh yeah, okay, good. Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm not in the League of Assassins. I can't say it like that.
Although that's a big point for the Arrow trailer, because they did the big like rest of the series trailers for both The Flash and for Arrow.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they, I think it's in the Arrow one. I've been reading a couple of things over the course of the day. They just all tend to bleed together. But it shows Arrow in the League of Assassins hood. Attire. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and what's curious though, when I saw that initial trailer, because it played at the end of a Flash episode, I was like, you know, I wonder if they'll do him jumping to the future. Like, he jumps to the future for his current standing, and in that future, Oliver's now full on in the League of Assassins.
Oh, like a time jump?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it could be. Because they said that, I mean, the time travel obviously plays a big portion for the Flash, but I wonder if they'll save a time jump for the future at some point before the end of the season.
Gotcha.
But they still got a lot. They still got Gorilla Grodd to show up. They got more of the Reverse Flash to be revealed.
The Rogues. Oh, I love the Rogues. I'm
Wentworth,
so
Miller doing his Captain Miller. Cold thing.
They do such though a good job capturing the voice of the Rogues like across the board. I'm so happy. Even the Trickster, which I assume the Mark Hamill Trickster will go away, but if they do have the Trickster on the Rogues, it'll be the young guy. I thought he was awesome. It was like the Trickster stuff with Mark Hamill and him was great.
Yeah.
I really loved that.
Especially the I'm your father bit.
Oh, that was ridiculously awful. That was like
them reaching through the TV and just trying to jerk you off.
Fan servicey. So and it's like, you know, great. A lot of people probably won't get it, but the ones that do, it's just
all the ones watching this show and loving it for all the right reasons. Got it.
Probably, yeah.
Well, then you have all the nods to all the previous Flash history.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago we had a guy that, you know, did all this, and they show the stills from the actual show of Mark Hamill wearing the outfit. Yeah. You know, and having, what's his name involved with him also, and being taken prisoner.
Yeah, it was kind of, before they showed why they kidnapped him, it was like, that's an odd choice just to grab that one guy out of the prison. It's good to have a cop's father as a hostage.
Yeah, they made it make sense. I wonder if they're going to ever bring Jake Garrick on. Because if they do things like they show the history of the area and they do that, they could bring in
at the
Jake
WonderCon,
Garrick.
They mentioned, because somebody asked if they're ever going to show Wally West. Yeah. And they said that's definitely in the cards to do Wally.
Makes sense. And you know, it'll fit with the current comic continuity where he's a half African-American, I think.
He's African-American?
He's African-American, yes.
That's what we just heard, right?
I said half African-American.
No, you said
a
African-American.
There was a stop there.
There was no stop.
Can
it
I coin
African.
That term? Is that a good term?
It's a flame-on original. African-American.
Oral's going to kill
You're
me.
You're just lucky Oral's not.
Fucking pittered racism.
No. All right, so...
Two last things about Arrow. One, I love the fact that the producers actually admitted to fucking up continuity.
Yep.
On Tumblr, because they had one of the characters got electrocuted and then
got blasted off screen. But it was the fight between Arrow and the Atom. And the first thing the Atom does when he shows up is just annihilates Roy with a big old blast.
Uh-huh.
And then Arrow and Ray Palmer finish their fight. And then Arrow just kind of walks off. Doesn't check on Roy. Doesn't make sure he just leaves. And then they didn't show Roy the rest of the episode.
Oh.
So people watching the show, I was like, is he okay? Did he die?
Can someone check with his mama? Is he okay?
So fans took to Tumblr and they messaged him and were like, so is Roy dead? Is he okay? And pretty much the best answer was, yeah, we fucked up.
Yeah.
That was his direct quote. Yeah, we fucked up.
Oops.
He's fine. And then with the League of Assassins thing, there was another article on, I think it was CBR, and it was, can Oliver ever be the Arrow again? Because now his identity's been exposed.
But in that Matt Murdock Daredevil kind of way. Because by the end of the episode, Roy comes forward. As they got him in the police van, escorting him to Iron Heights to lock him away, Roy shows up in the Arrow costume and then turns himself in.
Oh,
says,
that
I'm
old chestnut!
Yeah.
Oh, I love those moments when Superman and Batman used to do that for each other. Oh,
I wonder if they'll do that whole thing then. Like going forward, everybody just kind of knows.
Well,
he is.
So they, one of the other things is that possibly because of Oliver in the League of Assassins attire, maybe that Ra's al Ghul has something to do with changing that part of history or time to make it so that way people don't know if Oliver ends up becoming part of the League of Assassins. So that's just one of those pieces of speculation that kind of went out today that might happen.
They use the Spider-Man technology, magic, and everything else to erase the world from knowing his identity.
You got a Mephisto involved in that. So, we will talk about Justified in a later episode.
I gotta catch up.
Somebody has to get caught up, but let me just tell you, if you love Justified, that show is getting crazier and crazier. And yet, it's winding down. It's winding down.
That was a show that would never wind down. It would go out with a bang.
Well, it is going out with a bang, but the fact that they're killing off major characters that you know.
Shut up!
I won't tell you who.
The showrunner was on NPR and.
Graham Yost, I think.
And, I don't remember which host was interviewing, but basically took him to task saying, you're not just going to give us an unsatisfactory Sopranos type ending, are you? And he's like, we've learned. You'll be happy. Aww. So trust. Put your trust in
it. Will you be happy or will you at least have a definitive answer?
I don't know about happy, but satisfied.
Because there's one beat in there that you go, oh, well, that's different. I wouldn't have thought of that. And it kind of gives the major characters and sort of an out, or at least one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've already veered.
If it's Walton Coggins, I can guarantee right now that man likes to die at the end of every show he's on.
Yeah.
And die in the most spectacular way.
Well, that could still be happening.
You never finished The Shield.
I didn't finish.
Oh, man.
I thought he died way before the end of the series, though.
No, maybe second or third to last episode.
Oh.
And he went out like Chris Benoit style.
Whoa.
Killed his mother, killed his wife and child, and then killed himself.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible. You just went Chris Benoit on? Oh.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it took me a second to remember how Chris Benoit died.
Yeah, I was like, is he the one that fell from the raft? No,
oh,
that was
man.
What's his
Owen
name.
Hart.
Well, the sad part is, because it's Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
Who's, and he admits.
Wait, Ryan Murphy?
Sean Ryan. He ended up doing that submarine show for one season. He does Outlander now, I think, on Stars.
Oh, he's doing Outlander?
He did Stars.
Which just came back and is explosive again all over social media.
Yeah,
I could be completely wrong. Or he might be the guy from Battlestar doing that. I'm not sure.
Well, no. Well, anyway. No, because he's doing Helix. The producer.
Jonathan. What am I thinking of?
Crap. We used to listen to his stupid podcast about every Battlestar.
Anyway.
Ron Moore.
Thank you.
The showrunner for The Shield had fully admitted when he wrote that character to die, Chris Benoit had just happened in the news, and he said, you know, that's just fucked up enough.
Wow.
To do the same thing.
Damn. That's just cold. Yeah. I'm not watching Mad Men right now, but it just came back, and I need to catch up, and I
should probably watch that show.
You'd like it, I think.
I tried first 5 episodes of season 1 and just didn't.
Slow. It's slow. Very slow.
I like slow, and that's still too slow for me.
I will mention Helix. We just mentioned it. It is wrapping up as well. They're, again, kind of taking care of major characters one by one. But that show is still fucked up. They have not had any more hand job monologues, unfortunately.
Have they said it's coming back for season 3?
No, but they talk about it being the season finale.
Okay.
And I think it's been doing pretty well. So they've left themselves a little bit of room. They could do certainly another season, but if they ended it now, it would still be okay, I think. They could wrap it up. But it's just so messed up. Any other TV shows? All right. It's back to movies. Now, I don't have a whole lot of specific movie reviews, but I will tell you I'm very excited about a couple.
We're kind of on the cusp of a lot of different movies. Like, the summertime is about to start, which means all the big releases are going to start popping.
Yeah, I mean, friggin' Age of Ultron is, like, first on deck, right?
And when is that? This month?
May 1st.
May
1st.
I can't believe it's already here.
Yeah.
And there's supposedly a big announcement that, what's his name? Not McDowell. Who plays Iron Man?
Robert Downey Jr.?
Thank you.
Roddy McDowell. Fresh off of Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
Andy McDowell. She's taking over.
Oh, her. Ooh. Iron Lady. No, so he's going to make some big announcement.
That's Margaret Thatcher. That's different.
That'd be fun, though.
Yeah.
Had her own iron suit.
Fun is a word.
Margaret Thatcher. The Iron Lady is now Iron Man.
Oh. No, so he's got a big announcement next week, and then people are speculating it's going to be something about the Vision, or I don't know.
When was this? Because there was something he had posted on his Facebook page.
It's next week that his announcement's going to happen. On, like, one of the morning talk shows.
Oh.
I mean, he at this point, even though I know he's keeps jerking him around whenever the contract renewals come up, he is kind of like their main spokesman. Even after he retires from the acting role, he should probably stay on with just being a Marvel Cinematic.
He could be the new Stan Lee and just be wheeled out every now and again for a cameo.
Pretty much.
He's great, though. The whole thing he did with the kid with the prosthetic arm.
Yeah.
That was printed here in Orlando, I think, the UCF startup company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was really cool to come out as Iron Man. So I'm very excited about that. I don't know what to expect. I don't want to go in with high expectations or I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting.
I haven't been let down by Joss Whedon movies as of yet.
I know I'm excited about it because I've started thinking up my own promotional stuff for the show.
Oh, well, that's good. Like what?
Well, specifically yesterday, I was thinking they should put just James Spader voiceovers at like metro stops and stuff. Like just have Ultron start talking over the tinny.
Yeah.
And then just, good. People wouldn't really understand what's going on, but if you were a fan, you would just get chills thinking, oh my God, it's the voice of Ultron.
Oh my God. So many strings.
At Disney, on the, make his face the fucking beginning, the head of the monorail.
Have a monorail voice.
And then the doors close and it's him. Oh.
Although that'd be,
that would be amazing.
That'd be hilarious to see James Spader just start rattling off some Spanish.
that would be fantastic.
Yeah, you would just get chills and everyone would talk about it. It'd be great promotion.
That's a great idea. And surprisingly, Disney is not doing that, or if they are, we don't know about it, but that makes a lot of sense.
I think it would scare the shit out of some people. They'd be like, oh God, the monorail's gonna go off the
it's
rails.
It's self-aware. you guys seen the new Mad Max Fury Road trailer?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's so good.
You know, I haven't been a huge Mad Max fan. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen any of them.
But the spectacle in the trailers will make you a fan just from the trailer.
That's all you need.
I know. No, I'm there.
If you are going to watch this movie for its content, you need to go somewhere else.
If you're here to watch it for plots, no.
Yes.
You're here to watch it for crazy car crashes, insane stunts, and the potential for a tornado car fight sequence with lightning and fireworks.
Exactly.
And a guy with a guitar on top of a truck.
My body is ready. All right.
Thank you, Reggie. Thank you, Reggie.
That movie, I'm very excited about that. And again, like I said, I've not been a big Mad Max fan, but it's making me a newer fan. What else? The Terminator Genesis trailer, I watched it again.
The one from the Super Bowl?
I think it's the newer one because it seems a little different. They gave a little more exposition about what was going on. I still just don't quite understand what old man Schwarzenegger's doing in that thing. But, you know, I'll go see it probably just because Matt Smith's got his little role. And I don't know. I like Terminator movies.
I look back at it and I think, you know, there's a solid reason why James Cameron was willing to part with that one and just kind of let it go because two movies in that pretty much told the story that you needed to tell, and everything since then, it just feels like they've just been tacking on and trying to build a new level, and it's not there.
I did read today that Joss Whedon tried to buy the rights when they went through bankruptcy on this.
Really?
Yeah, but apparently, like, the mitigation court said the bid was way too low and it was worth more than that, but he put out like a couple grand for it.
I remember that.
I'll give you the change in my pocket.
Yeah.
Well, that was before he had Marvel money.
That's true. I would have been really good to see what he would do with it. Tomorrowland, that trailer looks pretty interesting. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of them making Disney movies of their little rides and things, but the fact that it's like Tomorrowland, which is one of my favorites in Magic Kingdom, and the George Clooney playing some weird role.
And Hugh Laurie playing in there as well.
Oh, I do love Hugh Laurie.
Indeed.
Oh. Well, so I'm excited about that. And Jurassic World, of course.
Nah.
No? Come on.
Well, Chris Pratt plus dinosaurs. Come on.
And he's leading a charge of raptors. That's awesome. That's kind of cool. Oh, come on.
It may feel a little fanservice-y, but it'll do okay.
And hey, there's a bigger, nastier dinosaur that they have to face off against.
It's a T-Rex with full-length arms. That way he's not limited by his tiny arms anymore.
Oh, is he still a vegetarian, though?
No.
No. Well, that's better than and Fantastic Four, I'll throw that in there just because, you know, it's going to be a big... I don't know if it's going to be a shit show. I'm curious with the choice of Philip Glass doing the soundtrack, what that exactly portends. Lots of lots of just repetitive things. But, you know...
He did Tubular Bells, right?
No, that's Michael Phil.
That's Michael Phil.
Philip Glass is just very repetitive, and it's minimalism. It's meant to be. But, like, I just don't know what that means it's going to be like. I don't know. I'm curious.
Can you guys just keep doing that for like 30 seconds? And I'll hear intro music for the episode.
And then we're going to use this for 40K, right?
All right. So what other movies? Is there anything else coming out of the summer we're excited about? I mean, any good movies that we're excited about?
I need to see a list.
I looked up these earlier and I was like,
They play trailers so far in advance now, and you see them over and over that by the time they get here.
When does Spectre come out?
That's probably not until next year.
I think it's 2016.
Because they just showed a teaser trailer for that.
But it was good, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was
so good.
And there's a lot of little scenes in it. They show a lot.
It's amazing when you have more or less a cohesive story from Casino Royale on so far, and they've hinted, they've paid off with continuations of everything from that.
I watched some of the old Bond recently, like Sean Connery era. And then a little
The good misogynistic stuff.
Oh my god, yeah! But it was still great. And watching Kingsman, especially, made me really miss like the Roger Moore era. And like, I think at some point soon, I'm gonna have to go back and just mainline old James Bond movies because, like, our dad would that's all he watched.
That was weekend viewing.
Oh my god!
Although our dad was also a freak because he was a Roger Moore fan, and so when we were growing up, it was just widely considered that Roger Moore was the best one. And then you get older and you realize, oh my god, he was the worst one.
Yeah, but in a very specific way. Like, I can see why our dad likes it, but like, no, Sean Connery just so good, and Daniel Craig I think is an excellent, excellent James Bond. So
Timothy Dalton was kind of an odd fit.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch those again just because honestly, I appreciate him now much more having seen him in Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
Which also comes back soon.
Oh, thank God.
And that show.
That was a good show.
That's a crazy show. That's another one of those.
I hope they continue the momentum that they had from the first season.
Yeah, I think they will. Mama will find out. So, no other movies?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, we will move on then.
Okay.
We have had a few questions pop up over the interwebs. As you know, we like to entertain these questions, whether they be about comics, video games, relationships.
We're tech savvy on this podcast.
We are. Technology. I don't know. Whatever you'd like to ask us, of course, you can email us at flameonshow.com. It's Brian at flameonshow, Jared at flameonshow, Jeff at flameonshow. We'll get Adam at flameonshow. Eric and Oral still have at flameonshows. They check them probably sometimes.
It would mean a lot if anybody would email me ever.
I'll email you later tonight. How's that?
That doesn't count. Oh,
fine. And we also have the Twitter, so you can tweet at us at flameonpodcast. Because we like being different. But we did get a question. It's from our friend BJ, who's actually a friend of ours in town here. And he asked, if you could date a villain of the opposite sex or the same sex, who would it be and why?
New guy goes first.
Well, I'm trying to run through like all the like comics and video games.
There's a lot to choose from.
That's right. He doesn't specify.
Just
real life villain.
Well, let's
Any
start
sexy
with this.
Dictators
what villains have you found attractive? In whatever media.
I'm inclined to go like Lex Luthor or...
Which one? Gene Hackman, right? Gene Hackman?
Comics.
Okay,
well, fine.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Twinkish.
Yeah, I know. Probably not going with Apocalypse.
Again, though, which one?
The one that he portrayed.
There's a little cosplay action going on with that one.
Those picks will be eventually up on Flame On Show.
Great.
With your consent, of course.
Was it ancient Egypt in Sevenor with like the giant loincloth?
No. That would have been great. That would have been fun.
Well,
too.
Now you say that.
We don't want to spoil anymore. But there may be pictures coming. So Lex Luthor. That's a good one.
Yeah. I always forget the character's name. Every single time, but from Watchmen.
Ozymandias?
Yeah.
Or Dr. Manhattan.
No, Ozymandias.
Okay.
The looks, body, hair. Money, wealth, prestige.
Homicidal tendencies.
Do the bad thing.
Genocidal
to save.
Tendencies.
Yeah. Can I say that's okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
We're basically talking zone. About what villain you're. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
if I had to choose
bad.
A villain, I'd choose one that's going to do the wrong thing for the right reason, I think.
Okay. Jared, do you have a preference on a villain?
I can't really think of a villain that I found particularly attractive. I don't know.
Saruman? I mean, you want a silver fox?
It's not that I want him. I want to be him.
Oh, okay.
So there's a single white female element to
it. It's more of like a man crush on Saruman.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see. If I was to go with a villain, off the bat, I'd probably say Hans from Frozen.
Interesting.
Everybody else, please don't kill me.
Wow. Going with the Frozen reference. That's good.
Okay. Jeff? Well, let's see. Opposite sex, I could say, I mean, that's the problem with Marvel comic book villains, is they're all drawn proportionately appealing.
Uh-huh.
Big boobs and a big butt. I mean, sure. Black Cat, fantastic.
Yeah.
White Queen.
White Queen. Yeah. She's giving it
Tits
away
McGee.
Too much, though.
She really does.
Yeah, I mean, the especially the
but
Grant
the
Morrison
you can
days.
Do in your head.
Ugh. Psychic affair.
Yeah.
No messy cleanup.
Psylocke had her run with Claremont with the sexy outfits.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy Braddock.
It's more of a challenge to go with the same sex.
Okay.
Mr. Sinister.
Oh.
Ooh, that's creepy. Ooh.
Goatee and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Soul patch goatee of the 1800s Mr. Sinister.
Nice. They did Nathaniel Essex. They did a, he regenerated as a woman.
Know.
Okay.
I read that. That was during, what's his name?
Not Fraction. Was it Fraction?
No, it was
Kieran Gillen's
run.
Yeah, I love that.
Sinister.
That was really awesome. I wish they had stuck with
it. There you go. That's both. That's the answer to both.
I like it.
Mr. and Ms. Sinister.
I like it. Let me go, in the spirit of your both genders, I will have, see, White Queen's too much, but and this is ridiculous, and Pat's going to kill me for saying this, but I would say Jean Grey, because I had to do fancy myself. Somewhat like a Cyclops, sort of like Cyclops. But, you know, maybe with a clone, do Madeline Pryor.
You fancy yourself kind of Cyclops?
I've always liked Cyclops.
Goblin Queen?
I mean, you're
sure. Yeah, but it's a Goblin Queen.
Yeah, kind of that's dick, pretty sexy.
Listen, I have my moments, all right? No, but now for male, I will say it comes down to Magneto.
Joseph Magneto or?
Hell no. Hell no. Not with the long hair.
Long, silver hair.
Actually, I like kind of the short white hair, short cropped, you know, old school Magneto, but I like the new Magneto that's sort of like bald and.
The Jim Lee run.
Yes.
That was when he looked probably the most.
Yep. I'll go with that. Yeah. And then also Dr. Doom and only the way Hickman writes him because Doom is a very smart villain.
But is that more of the Saruman thing where it's you have the man crush because you more want
to
be
him? No, because I don't want to be a villain. But if I were to want to be with a villain, I think it would be someone like Doom. Mm. They have to be a smart villain. And I think Magneto's also pretty damn smart.
You know, he's wily.
Yeah. And I like the way, what's his name, plays him in the movies.
Oh, Fassbender?
And
I was going to say, that's not so bad.
Both of them do, I think, a great Magneto. I've always said Ian McKellen is one of these kind of guys, a little outside my age range, but if, you know, the opportunity presented itself, I mean.
You wouldn't say no.
It's Ian McKellen. I mean, come on.
He would be flattered, I think.
Stephen Fry's in that little boat there.
Oh, you starfucker.
I'm just saying,
you
no.
You starfucker.
It's not because they're famous.
Stephen Fry just married about 10 years younger than
I know,
you.
I know, right?
No offense.
I'm too old for him. But they both, I have such admiration for both of them that sort of does it. It's not the star thing, but it helps.
But it helps.
It helps. So that was BJ's question. Now, I'm going to say his name right, Stephen Morey, because I always screw his name up, asked a really good question about what, if money and time are no object, what comic or other conventions would we want to go to? And I will say, I'll start with this because there's a whole list of them that I want to get around to as soon as possible. One is our friends at Geeks Out. They're doing FlameCon. Not to be confused with Flame On. FlameCon up in New York in June, and I'd love to go to that, but I'm still sort of on the fence. BentCon, which Jared has made it to once before, and every year people ask us, are you going to be there? Are you coming this year? So,
if I can come this year.
Well, and I want to go too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, yeah. And you've said as much. GamerX, I mean, our friend Matt Kahn, like, I just got to see the craziness. I got to know. The craziness that is the GamerX show, but a lot of people enjoy. I know our friend Austin has been to that and really enjoyed it. Dragon Con, if I could do it right and get a hotel down near the stuff.
And
not
that's probably the easiest one to shoot for.
Well, but the hotels are sold out
so
like the
after
day after.
This Dragon Con ends, you get your hotel and then you go to the next one.
You know, basically that's what you have to do.
Yeah, it really is.
It's ridiculous. So
Mel's cousin has gone to multiple, and he always dresses up. Yeah. Let's see what his trick is.
A lot of people crash at people's that they can. Or they commute in, which is what we did last year.
The one time I went, we ended up with 12 people in a two-bedroom.
See, I can't do that anymore. I just can't. But the other one I would love to go to, and I've been, Baltimore. We went a couple years ago, and we had a lot of fun. And we just did an interview with Dean Haspiel for our last episode, and he's going to be at Baltimore, so I'd really like to go to that. See him. I don't have as much interest in San Diego. A lot of people, I think, really would want to go to like San Diego. New York was such similarly like that experience of media and all this craziness that I don't know. San Diego, I just have a weird vibe about it. C2E2 is another show that's really good for creator types. Am I stealing all the good shows?
No, it's just funny. You put some thought into this before. Well, got a ready to go list.
Out the giant Santa
Claus. It's like, well, since
nice
you
list,
asked.
Let's see, starting from the top.
They're on my hit list is why. I mean, Heroes is the one I definitely love going to every year. It's a great show. MegaCon, because it's here, even though it's not my favorite show because it's so busy and media celebrity centered.
Which is funny to say because MegaCon, there was a few years ago when it was like, is it going to keep going?
Oh, I know. Well, now.
I just wish they would run the space better.
Oh, yeah.
Just the use of space drives me insane.
Oh, yeah.
That was what was great about the Baltimore one is it was, I know you've always said the one in, was it South Carolina?
Heroes.
That's the one.
It's Charlotte, North Carolina.
North Carolina. That's the one. Like that's the big secret that people don't really
know about. There's just tons of great creators. They hang out. It's small. Yeah. No,
but
it's
Baltimore
great.
Was like that too. Like we saw a really good lecture about the Comics Code put on by Jim Van Lente, and it was great stuff, and not just your typical convention fare.
Yeah.
So I would want to go to Essen Games Festival in Germany.
Oh.
Well, I forget what the actual name is. But that's a board game, like the international thing. Since money's no object.
Yeah,
Germany.
That's true.
And I would definitely want to go to PAX one year.
Yeah.
The first
PAX,
year
PAX East?
I had plans. No, just the original.
Just the original one?
In Seattle, yeah.
Well, money's no object.
I've never gone.
Yeah.
I think I would love it. I'm afraid I might finally get there and have aged out and be the awkward guy. Oh, so
I
want to get there while I can still be relevant.
GDC, I would have loved to have gone to GDC.
Oh, yeah. E3 would be fun just for the spectacle.
Yeah. Gamescom would be great.
I love Star Wars Celebration the year that I went here in Orlando, so I would go back to that.
Yeah.
What about Tokyo Game?
Tokyo Game Show?
Ooh,
Game Show,
yeah. That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I would go to one of those cell phones. So we're kind of getting way off topic, but the cell phone shows, what is it? Pat would know. He always follows it every time they do it. They announce the new Samsung phones and all
like
that.
Well, like CES?
No, it's not CES. It's in like the
But that would be fun,
winter.
Too.
That would be fun.
Yeah, CES would be amazing. Yeah, those are kind of shows, I think.
It's one of those, like, you'd almost do, like, a Grateful Dead touring thing, like, where you would just go around
Yeah, you really
the world.
Could fill your whole year with it.
Yeah.
People do.
Money's no object.
That's what these artists do. They put themselves up in the cheapest way they can. And they,
my former coworker who I just
Bianca.
See her just jet setting.
Oh, you know Bianca, right?
I do.
I love Bianca.
I hear you have a contact at IGN.
Best Buy.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'll have to reach out to our friend there, Baby Bear. Yeah, and our friends, so Bianca and we got Charles Houston.
We've all got friends who are artists.
Well, no, but I mean, they're all going to MegaCon this weekend. Danny Haas, Charles Thurston, obviously Chuck Houston. Charles Thurston. So, I'm looking forward to seeing them even though they're local. But they're really cool. So, thanks for the questions, BJ and Steve. Anything gaming wise really going on? I have not played a game since we bought Mario Party 10. And has sat there and not been played. Pat may have played it without me.
That's because you cherish your relationships.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But I think it's
I would love to
too
play more.
Busy.
But honestly, I played a couple times. I'm curious because we didn't actually get to try the regular mode. It just kept being Bowser mode. And the person playing the Bowser mode the times that we played it reveled in it a little too hard.
Do I know that person?
You might know them via somebody.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my God, when you have the wrong person playing in the mode like that, that will
ruin the fun.
That'll make you want to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So like playing Smash Brothers Brawl.
Oh, yeah, that's dangerous.
But at least Smash Brothers, there's a level of insanity that.
Yeah, and then you laugh about it in this next round. Yeah, that's true.
What else?
We're just going to mention the PlayStation Plus games for this month, April.
What is it?
Tower of Guns is coming. It's kind of like games with gold for Xbox and PlayStation Plus are playing off each other. Like, we're giving you four games instead of three. We're giving you six games.
Arms so, race.
I love yeah, it, it really is great.
You know what I found is actually, and I had PlayStation Plus for years, and I technically still have it for another 2 years, even though I sold my PlayStation 4. The PS Plus system. And I think you complained about it when I got you a membership for 1 year. Like, well, what happens when my membership ends? Do I get to keep the games?
Nope.
Xbox Live or the games for gold? You keep the games.
Really?
I think that changed, though. I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Because that's why they don't have any great games. They give you little throwaway digital games still.
I forgot the other one for PlayStation Plus for this week or for this month, but Xbox Live games with gold, you get Terraria if you don't have that on another system.
I heard that's a lot of fun.
It is.
Really, really fun. Man, even on Xbox. Yeah, you can just spend all the time there. Child of Light for Xbox One.
Child of Light?
Yeah, it's
an RPG.
Oh.
It's a fun.
Has anybody played the Final Fantasy that came out?
Type Zero?
Yeah, and then the preview of 15? I really want to play the preview of 15.
I've watched someone sit and play it. It looks great. It's, people are like, well, this isn't fantasy. It's too modern. But,
it's magic realism.
Yeah.
I saw one of the summons in 15 on the demo.
Oh, I heard that's ridiculous.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So this is where I probably will buy, because I haven't bought a new console. I mean, I have the Wii U. That doesn't really count. I will probably buy a PS4 when this comes out. Because that's the kind of game that I like at least starting to play, even if I drop it very quickly. So, or if they do it for both platforms, then I may have to make a hard choice.
It's going
to
be a multi-platform. I don't think Square does exclusives for their Final Fantasy anymore.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, I'm torn because I don't know which one I would go with unless it was an exclusive. But
I just bought Grand Theft Auto 5 again today for Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to buy a PC version because they've said, like, they've put out videos. It's going to be amazing graphics and 60 frames a second at 1080p.
Much anticipated and delayed, but supposedly worth it.
But ultimately I looked at my list of people I could play the game with and said, you know, I have a bigger option for multiplayer on Xbox One.
Yeah.
And that just means I have to take a hit on graphics, but it's not that big of a hit.
Did you guys see the thing where if you could find a way like to hack in and get like a free car? They had some exploit, you could get a free car. It was some nice fancy car, whatever.
I know that when they released GTA Online, it was kind of like the all the different games that have launched for online compatibility, and it's never gone well. And they were just saying, okay, well, here's $500,000 in-game money to make up for us not having a good launch. And so now it's like a standard. Everybody starts with that.
Well, this deal is – it's an exploit.
Just like real life.
Yeah. Welcome to the world. Here's $500,000.
So what happened was the Rockstar found out that people were doing this. And as soon as they logged in, they blew them up in the game.
Nice.
So I thought that was kind of a funny way to address their little exploit.
Seems fitting.
Yeah. Speaking of games, I need to go back and finish Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Shadow of Mordor?
Yeah, I never finished.
I didn't either.
I got like right towards the end where I had all these orcs working for me, and I was doing my hand, doing the big white hand thing.
I started playing it again after the podcast, and I actually started. I finally got to the second half of the map.
Yep.
And
which is really pretty. I mean,
oh, it's gorgeous. I was shocked.
Yeah. I'm like, the first half of the game is all bleak and devastated, and it looks nice.
A lot of mud colors.
Yeah. But then it's like gorgeous, like trees and grass, and it was pretty.
So yeah, it's one of those, and I know it's a game of the year contention last year, but
it was
so good, but it didn't stand out.
Yeah.
It didn't break any trends or anything. It was just a really good game.
Yeah. So I'm going to comic books, and comic books we're going to keep pretty short this week. Obviously, Eric and Oral are our bread and butter comic aficionados.
Well, it helps when you work for a comic book store.
It does, and you get to read for free. But I have read a few books, and I just want to talk briefly about them. The first one, and this is the beginning of the crazy Convergio Secret War conflation in Marvel and DC. They had Convergence Zero.
I think I had seen a picture for that.
For DC. And this book I actually did enjoy, although it was kind of weird. It has Superman and about 20 to 30 different incarnations of Brainiac.
Okay.
And this is basically on their, like, Blood Moon or Battle World, whatever the hell they call it. And it's, like, all the different realities that have been come and gone in DC. Their cities are just deposited in this world. And the Collector, I think, is the guy, ultimately, he's like a manifestation of the planet. He is putting or the worlds or the cities are going to fight each other to see who gets put back into reality. I don't have a lot of high hopes for this series, only because the creative teams are all fairly, if they're not like old classic, like Lin Wein is going to be one of them. And I like his stuff. That'll be interesting. But a lot of other, like, you know, Jeff Loeb's and I don't know, C and D list DC writers, and like some could be fun, and they're getting to play with characters and realities that we haven't seen in a while. But I just, I don't know. It's only 2 months though. And then they start whatever the new 52 is.
Which, what were the guidelines for that? It was not going to be restrictive anymore, and they were going to let people write what they wanted to write.
It's the Harley Quinn.
All those
Quinn.
Books are starting over.
They're kind of resetting their stories, some more than others, just like with New 52. But the idea is, you know what? We're not going to be as editorially driven to fit storylines.
So we're not going to be chasing writers and artists out the door right. as quickly mm-hmm. as we did.
They
before.
Love what happened with Harley Quinn and what happened with Batgirl. Both are sort of outside continuity to a large extent, but, you know, they're the same characters, just a newer version of them, and they're more fun, which is basically what Marvel's been doing without making a lot of fuss.
Right.
So I'm very excited about seeing what comes out of that. But, yeah, Convergence Zero, and I think the Convergence starts now, so all the DC storylines are kind of wrapping up.
Convergence did introduce me to my new favorite DC character, because I'm more of a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
Apparently there's someone named Buster Gold.
Booster Gold.
Sorry, okay, Booster. But he's got a sidekick named Skeets, and that's just funny enough in itself favorite. Skeets.
It is pretty kind of
funny. Know nothing about it. I did a wiki it, but Skeets is my new favorite. Thanks, Convergence.
That is not what it means.
That's his name. It's Skeets. His name is Skeets.
That predates Dave Chappelle, but you know, Chappelle is playing Orlando.
All right.
Hopefully he won't get hit in the face with a banana. Man, that guy can't catch a break.
So another big DC book, they ended all the weekly stuff. They ended Batman Eternal. They ended, crazy one? Earth 2, and then Future's End. They ended all those. And from what I've read, even though I wasn't actually following any of them directly, they all just kind of went, eh.
Earth 2 had such strong promise,
too. Oh, man, Earth 2 could have been.
Before what's-his-name left.
Well, Tom Taylor was really good.
He actually carried it pretty well.
Robinson was good. Tom Taylor in some ways elevated it because he made it more exciting. He introduced the evil Superman, which was kind of cool, even though that was very much like the video game thing.
Oh, Injustice.
Which he was writing that series as well.
Which we didn't even talk about. Mortal Kombat X comes out next week. Okay, we're just...
I don't...
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just don't...
I love 9.
Yeah.
Just a story mode.
I never played 9. But Multiversity also is winding up. And this book, this week or last week or whenever it came out, Ultra Comics. For those of you who know, Multiversity is a universe-spanning epic set in the DC continuity.
Let's see, Ultra, was that the Supreme? No, that was Image.
Yeah, no, that's something else. Ultra, though, in this thing is our universe, Earth 33. And so the whole Ultra Comics is what if our universe created a comic book character that came to life as a superhero. In fact, the superhero, his name Ultra Comics, he is the living manifestation of a comic book. And so this is where Morrison gets crazy and does all his meta stuff.
Gets crazy.
Yeah. No, it's very cool and meta and awesome and weird. And
bitch moved to Crazy Town 20 years ago.
If you like Morrison, you need to go get Multiversity, and specifically the Ultra Comics and then the first issue. This Ultra Comics is also the comic book that in the story is what has been infecting people with this force from outside the universe that's like the gentry. They're like this evil, malevolent force that is taking over all realities. So there's the whole meta.
It's nothing.
It's the monster at the end of this book too, a little bit. But no, it's in fact, that actually does happen. There's a monster at the end of the, anyway. So it's just Morrison-y goodness.
Is this a smoke monster?
No. Smoke monster's lame.
Hey.
Come on. That's lame.
Speaking of Image, you also mentioned earlier death and dying and
yeah,
the dead.
So Morrison's
death and taxes?
Almost. Morrison's one of my favorite writers.
Flux now.
But right up there with him is Jonathan Hickman. And so over on the Image side of the house, Dying of the Dead issue 2 came out, and it's kind of like if they took Warren Ellis's Red and mixed it with a little bit of a spaghetti western sort of quality and this City of Immortal beings that are buried under the earth and set you out on an adventure. It's kind of cool.
So they all use manatees with balls with suggestions written on them, and then just kind of the South Park Family Guy non sequitur.
No, this is the elevator pitch, the speech kind of thing. But it's actually good. I mean, I cite Red because it starts in an old folks' home, and the guys in there, they're just kind of complaining about how the medicine isn't very good and how since Medicare they've just da 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 da. And then one of them turns out to be a badass assassin guy, and there's some awesome stuff. I mean, Hickman takes those tropes and actually makes them fun, I think. Okay. So it's been really good, the second issue. And Ryan Bodenheim, who did Secret with him, I think this book really gives Bodenheim a chance to shine as an artist, because Secret was kind of just plain. I didn't feel like the vistas or the situations were that exciting. A lot of people just talking to each other. This has got that too, but when you see like DC or you see the underground city, you see all this cool stuff that he gets to draw. It's pretty neat. Hmm. So,
sounds like an interesting book.
Marvel is doing, of course, their sort of time runs out thing with Avengers, and they're doing stuff in like the X books and the space books are doing a Black Vortex.
I have a question about Marvel. Mm-hmm. They just put out a graphic novel.
Yes. Rage of Ultron.
What the fuck?
I haven't read it.
Did you even see the big payoff, the what happens at the end? No. With okay, never mind.
Well, and I
we can't talk about that.
Well, I do want to read it because it's Rick Remender.
Right, but then so there was also the end result. There's the question of when does this take place? Before Secret Wars or after Secret Wars?
Oh, before. Wars? Before.
Because what happens at the end of it is kind of a big deal that if they undid it by the Secret Wars, it's like, okay, that was all for nothing.
But Secret Wars, the way they're posturing it, it's everything ends and then Secret Wars begins.
Right.
So you can do pretty much whatever you want in current continuity, and it can be easily shifted around in Secret Wars or after Secret Wars. Because
in this, I mean, I don't want to
I don't care. What is it? Tell me.
They have...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, yes. We've given that. I mean,
spoilers.
If you're still
spoilers.
Sitting here listening, you've been spoiled.
Ultron and Hank Pym merge.
Oh, all right.
So now Ultron has a human heart.
Interesting.
And he's floating out in the deep edges of space with a beating heart, and Hank Pym is gone. Hank Pym is no more, because Hank Pym and Ultron have merged as one.
Which is interesting, because Hank Pym is a small but pivotal part of the Avengers stuff that leads into Secret Wars.
Right.
So this is probably an out of continuity thing. Well, yeah.
I don't know. It's a recommender. Is it out of continuity? That's what everybody who read it seems to go, is this important? Because this seems like a big important thing by the end of this book.
Yeah. I don't know. I do want to read it, though, because, again, Rick Remender...
I mean, they have an Ant-Man movie coming.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure part of that is by design, and the Ultron thing, of course. There's another book, and I forgot what it's called, but it's... what's his name? Al Ewing is writing it, and Alan Davis is drawing it, and it had Ultron something, too.
I don't know.
But it just looked not as interesting. Anyway, it's set in the future. So when Secret Wars happens, we'll see. I don't know. I'm still kind of shaking my head at all the crazy stuff coming out of the announcements about Secret Wars. And even though I'm far more excited about Secret Wars than I am DC's Convergence, I just am still like, I may drop a lot of Marvel after it or during it.
That is the time.
What I've been reading about the Black Vortex is it just seems like fan fiction brought to life.
Yeah, Black Vortex has not been the
strongest.
Storms
fighting with Gamora. Like,
well, but I mean, that's what a lot of this stuff is. You take all those characters and you just mix them up in a new combination.
Is this still being written by Bendis?
Bendis is writing parts of it, but he's doing it with Sam Humphries and Jonathan Lehman, who's doing Cyclops, and I think one other writer, Kelly Sue DeConnick, who's writing Captain Marvel. I mean, they're sharing the job. Well,
have they said what's going to happen with the X-Men? I mean, I know they've hinted at...
Well, Alonso, so he got into maybe a little trouble. He was like, oh, the X-Men are going to have a whole new world built around them, and da-da-da-da-da. And people were like, oh, my God.
So you are doing that.
You're doing it? You're shunting them off into...
Your hero's reborning the X-Men?
So I don't know, but he clarified that it's not quite that, but I bet you it is something. You know, the theory that's been out there forever is that they're going to shunt them back in time. So they're going to be like with sort of a separate continuity, but earlier in the Marvel history kind of thing, which, I don't know, but that certainly sounds like it could be that.
Just, you know, until Marvel re-secures the rights to the movie franchise, then they'll bring them right back.
Yeah, pretty much. I did read Inhuman Zero, by the way. The art's really good. It's McNiven.
That's a strong recommendation.
No.
I read it. Art's really
well,
good.
Well, no. See, the thing is, I like Black Bolt, and if you like Black Bolt, it's a good story.
Okay.
But again, it's one of these things where these books are just starting, like Zero.
Yeah.
And then Secret Warriors is, or Secret, not Secret Warriors, Secret Wars is going to happen, and it's like, what's going to happen? The book's just started.
When you announce a big Marvel or a big universe-shattering event like that, it's like, okay, does anything I read right now even matter?
Well, supposedly, the only books that are going to continue unscathed are like Howard the Duck.
Because you know.
Well, because you know. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Because you know.
Actually, that's a lot of fun.
She's awesome.
Haven't had a chance. She is awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
She's good from Great Lakes Avengers.
But she's the book she's got, it's really funny. Lots of little tiny things at the bottom. I love that. And then Hawkeye, which is also excellent by Ramon Perez and Jeff.
Is that the one that's switching every odd and even between Kate Bishop and...
No, they're ending that. In fact, they haven't quite. They've won.
Oh, that one has been so good.
But the new one is actually really good because Ramon Perez adapted his style of art to fit Aja's style. And they're doing a back and forth where they're exploring Clint and Barney's past, which is also kind of cool. I think it's Barney.
His brother?
Right. Yeah.
I think so.
So, I mean, it's actually, the first issue came out before the last issue of the previous run of Hawkeye came out.
Yeah,
so
it was really strange on the stands.
Is Fraction just done?
I don't know what Fraction's doing. I mean, he's doing his indie stuff. That's unabated. But it's very odd because his Marvel stuff does seem to be drying up. So if he is doing a new Marvel book, they may want him to like get everything done ahead of time before they start soliciting. I don't know, but he will be at Heroes Con, so maybe I can find out.
So that is a strange ending to what would have been a very prolific Marvel career.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's great. He's a great writer. So that's all we have. If you would like to find out more about us, flameonshow.com. By the time this airs, we will have an article featuring us and other Orlando gay geeks in the Watermark publication. So we'll be posting a link to that article online.
Oh, here's an idea. If you'd like to see us play a drunk game video cast, send in your game suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see
we
if we can play it.
That's good. No, actually, we want to
like that idea a lot.
We want to do a Flame On lock-in, and part of that would possibly be a Twitch stream coming out of it. So,
but let the viewers pick the game.
Pick board
within reason.
Or a video.
Within reason.
Within reason.
Yeah, don't give us some kind of obscure...
Strip Twister.
The PT demo.
That would be a very long, painful video.
I don't know what that is.
Silent Hills, the game that's probably not going to happen now.
Oh. Oh.
It's not my fault Kojima's just quitting.
I'm not pouting at you, I'm pouting at Brian.
Oh, I don't... We could do 40 Gay. That's the game.
Sure, we can do that.
Oh, it won't die.
No.
But no, and go back and check out our interviews with Detox and Dean Haspiel because they were both really awesome and we're really thrilled to get those kind of great interviews. That's all thanks to Pat basically tracking down these media handler people and getting them to commit to a time that...
Dealing with managers and agents and whatnot.
Yeah, and we're getting to interview awesome people, so it's been a lot of fun. And Eric and Aura will be back, we hope very soon. Yeah. All right, well, thank you guys for listening, and on that note, flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.